Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. You know the drill. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, but this show is brought to you so we can answer your questions on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. 713-8255. You can call us right now in the studio on any question, on any subject. Doesn't matter if it's landlord-tenant. Doesn't matter if we're injury attorneys. We're going to take it on. Can be wills, estates, inheritances, divorces, custody, property lines, surveys, property disputes, deeds. We've done it all, and we'll be glad to help you. 303-713-8255. We're right here in the studio for you. The whole team is here. Dana Miller from our law firm is here as well. We're ready to rock and roll. Today at 10 o'clock, every Saturday at 10 o'clock for 1 hour, 10 to 11, our one-hour Champions of the People injury show. We cover a different injury subject in that show as opposed to this show, which is every subject. In the KOA 10 o'clock show, that's 8:50 a.m. KOA, we talk about a different injury subject each week. And today we're talking about, the name of our show is, you know, you're in a car accident, it's your injury, and when you recover with an aggressive, proper attorney, it's your injury and it's your money. Why don't you get to keep it? And you're saying, well, I think I do keep it. I'm the injured person. I get to keep the money. I was injured. I get paid for my categories of damages. I get paid for my injuries, damages, and losses. So did you know that when you get recover money from the at-fault party and you get the money for your injuries and you settle the case and you sign off all the papers and the case is done, you might have to pay part of that money to somebody else, to a third party. So if you want to know the answers to those, listen to our show today at 10 o'clock, one-hour show. Champions of the People Injury Show. We've done shows on Xarelto. We've done shows on hip implants, Stryker rejuvenate implants, hip implants, Esure, right? And so hernia mesh cases. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, today, what do you know in Colorado about wrongful birth? You know, usually we talk about wrongful death, right? We're going to talk about wrongful birth. What do you know about wrongful birth? And Brad, before we get into a little bit, does everybody understand? Can you make a lawsuit, a claim for wrongful birth? And if so, why? How? That sounds incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible, and you can. Now, this is a hot topic, and we remind everybody we're not political here. So we don't make the decisions as to whether or not you can or can't. We tell you what the Colorado law has. Yes, there's people who think it wrongful birth cases are insanity, and don't agree with them. And there are people who would think that, they're perfectly appropriate. Colorado does have, a form of wrongful birth or wrongful life cases that it allows. They're usually within the, medical malpractice area. And usually they fall back to being just addressed as a physician's negligence or a person's negligence in properly handling the pregnancy or properly advising the pregnancy or properly giving information with regard to the pregnancy. We have wrongful birth, wrongful life cases, wrongful pregnancy cases, and they're available.
Well, not every state in the union has such a law. Now, we inherited our common law. We've touched on this before. We got our law from England, the common law. Remember, common law is different than statutory law. Statutory law is the laws passed by either the state legislature or the United States Congress, right? Those are laws. Sometimes they modify or what we call codify the common law. The common law came from England. The common law came from court decisions pertaining to different subjects that came up before the courts, went up to the higher courts, and they created the law. They created the law, and so this was common law. Not all states in this country have a cause of action for wrongful birth or wrongful life. And this is an incredible subject when you really, really think about it. Somebody is making a legal claim for being here, for living. Somebody, either the parents are making a legal claim in a wrongful life claim, the child is making a wrongful life claim. They'd rather not be here. You know, and the philosophers could argue all day long, the politicians can argue all day long, but we're talking about the pure law here. Colorado does recognize this, and so there's also a cause of action for wrongful pregnancy. You know, and if you got your legal coffee right now and your legal bagel, you're probably falling off your chair. What are you guys talking about? But let's talk about wrongful pregnancy. It's all derivative of or genesis of a medical malpractice claim, a claim against the doctor. So your doctors are going to pay attention and wake up today. A claim against the doctor for what?
Well, it's cause of action. It's commonly known, you know, it's allows parents or a parent to file against a healthcare provider or pharmaceutical company. It can also be sued in a situation like this, or really any other medical provider that failed to protect the mother from getting pregnant. It can be after a sterilization procedure. You can talk about when people take the necessary medications to make sure they don't get pregnant. But it's right there. It's a question of how and why did the person get pregnant and what was supposed to happen, and was there supposed to be pregnancy? If somebody's on birth control and you find out that they're not effective, they got pregnant when they shouldn't have because the birth control was defective, there's a wrongful pregnancy right there. And like I said, sterilization procedures are also times when a person goes through a sterilization procedure and next thing you know, there's still pregnancy.
So take it in the course of the natural course of events, there's a cause of action for wrongful pregnancy. In other words, there should have been some kind of contraception used. There wasn't. It failed. There was no proper warnings. And by the way, as an aside, right, all these drug cases like Assure, right, like Xarelto, like hip implants, like hernia mesh implants, like transvaginal mesh implants that go wrong, really wrong, really wrong. All of them, their genesis is basically a failure to warn. In other words, if the people like Taxotere, women losing their hair permanently on a drug manufactured by Sanofi. So all these things are failure to warn. So you deal with a failure to warn with regard to this wrongful birth, wrongful pregnancy. Wrongful pregnancy, I didn't want to get pregnant. That's the cause of action. That's the claim. I didn't want to be pregnant. And so I wanted to, my doctor was supposed to give me contraception. Were there any risks? Probably so, right? Probably a risk of failure, right? So it's an informed consent procedure. Wrongful pregnancy. Wrongful birth. I don't want to be here. The parents sue for wrongful birth. One of the seminal cases was in 2011 in Florida, right, where the parents brought an action because they said the doctor should have and could have easily warned them and told them about the wrongful birth of the child, and the child was born with no arms and no legs. So some of these cases are devastating. Some of them are catastrophic. And then, you know, what are the damages? And then the whole side issue here is what if you have frozen embryos and in vitro fertilization? Whose duty is it? Is it the duty of the doctor? Is it the duty of the agency? Is it the duty of the parents? And so you get a really hotbed of issues here. So, Brad, we got wrongful pregnancy, we got wrongful birth, and then the child can bring an action for wrongful life.
Right. And I don't know if there's been one of that nature in Colorado as far as wrongful life where the child has actually brought a lawsuit for wrongful life. But, yes, you can have wrongful life. And obviously this is a situation where the child condition is one such that the child doesn't want to have been born, doesn't want to be alive, and believes once again, in this case, it falls back into a medical malpractice case most of the time where the doctor failed to either diagnose or failed to inform such that the pregnancy would have been terminated within the lawful time period that a pregnancy could be terminated. But
right, so these causes of action do exist. They do exist in Colorado. They usually require catastrophic, devastating injuries to even consider bringing them. And you must know the law, you must know the causes of action, and you must know that they derive from a medical malpractice action, which is a failure to warn on behalf of the doctor. And so you've got the situation where the doctor is charged with the responsibility of failure to warn. And failure to warn what? Failure to warn of the risk, failure to warn of the wrongful of the problem with maybe the contraceptive device, failure to warn on a genetic disability, maybe inheriting a genetic disability, right? That's a whole different situation. People don't want people worry about whether or not they're going to pass down a genetic disability or genetic gene with certain mutations down to their offspring, their children. Bell and Pollock, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. They're all free. You can download an e-copy of our book. We have 6 books published. All right, the most recent one is the Colorado Definitive Guideline on Car Insurance. Point your legal compass to True North. Get the right insurance today, right now, right now. Get online and get the correct insurance. You know what to do. We've taught you. Bell and Pollock, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, will be right back. Here we go. Welcome back. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell & Pollack. Fasten your seatbelt. We're ready to take off on this Bell & Pollack legal show. Today at 10 o'clock in the morning on 850 AM KOA, every Saturday from 10 to 11, our Champions of the People Injury Show. Today we're talking about motor vehicle collisions and when you're injured and when you recover money, fair and adequate compensation from the at-fault insurance company, and you may not be able to keep all the money. And what are you talking about, Gary? Brad, what are you talking about? You may have to pay your money to a third party. Wow. Seems like you'd want to know that in advance. It seemed like you'd want to win that war. You can win that war. Listen to our show today at 10 o'clock, 850 KOA, every Saturday morning, the Champions of the People Injury Show. All right, and our website is championsofthepeople.com. And our first book we ever wrote was called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, Once in the Accident and Again on the Insurance Claim. It's a long title, but relevant. Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice. And we have a second edition, revised edition, now available. And you can get it in hard copy. If you want a hard copy, just call our law firm anytime. You can call the studio right here, 303-713-8255. And if you do, you can tell Kevin and we can send you a hard copy of NRA Books. It's that easy, 303-713-8255. Okay, so, you know, Brad, we did a show recently on Xarelto. And Xarelto, as we know, is a blood thinner. But many things that you can take, Bayer just came out with a brand new warning with the FDA. It's now very significant. And I want you guys to think about everything. When these drug companies come out with a brand new warning, what does that mean? When the product's been on the market for years, right?
Well, the first question you ask is, did they have that information before they came out with a warning, or how long did they have it before they came out with a warning? Did they have it at the time they came out with the first warning? Because if they had it, the same information that they're now giving you new, but they had it in the before the first warning, why didn't they put it on the first warning? Most of the time, you'll find paperwork or you'll find information where they believed if they would have put that information on the first warning, they wouldn't have sold as much of their product. And if they couldn't sell as much of their product, then they find out that they don't have as much profit. When they don't have as much profit, they're not happy. And they figure if we can leave that information off of the warning and get away with it, that we're better off and we'll make more money. And they have really no concern about doing that. So when you see a new warning, whenever you see a new statement on any kind of a drug that gives you additional warnings about different potential side effects that you can experience, you definitely want to know about how long they've known about those side effects.
Right. You can give us a call here at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We'll be glad to answer your question on any legal subject, even though we're injury attorneys. You know the drill and you know how this works. Okay, with Xarelto, the Bayer came out with a new warning, and the warning was, after years of the product being on the market, the warning was it may be contraindicated or it may be adverse, and you may experience adverse consequences if you take Xarelto, a blood thinner, along with aspirin or Plavix. And what do you think prompted and forced, that's what the word I like to use, forced the company to make an additional warning? Now, we're not talking about drug recalls. That's a whole different subject, right? What do you think prompted the company to make an additional warning of you can't take or you shouldn't take or watch out for adverse consequences when you take Xarelto with aspirin, which obviously thins your blood? And so what are the consequences? What happens to people? And you know, we do these kind of cases, and sometimes these results are devastating. I mean, we're talking about internal bleeding. We're talking about gastrointestinal bleeding. We're talking about internal bleeding issues, hemorrhaging, blood clots, strokes, deaths. And so you can give us a call anytime, and we'll be glad to cover that with you. Brad, let's talk just a little bit more about Xarelto and what people need to know.
Well, this is a big topic. You know, the first recovery came out of Philadelphia, where Philadelphia court ordered Johnson & Johnson to pay $28 million in damages to an Indiana couple related to the internal bleeding, where the company didn't give sufficient warning to the patients. That's a big issue, the internal bleeding. Xarelto even has problems at times even knowing how much of a dosage somebody should take and how to control the dosage. They have no antibodies. They have no way to stop the bleeding or no way to reverse the effects of Xarelto, the blood thinner, in the event there is excess bleeding. So they're putting a product out on the market without really giving warnings of what the dangers are. That product now has been shown to be information that the Xarelto manufacturers knew about, Johnson & Johnson. They were aware of it. And you got to understand, Johnson & Johnson recognized, I think it was somewhere around $2 billion in sales of Xarelto. So it's not like they were concerned about what the effect was going to be. It was out there, and these risks weren't being told to people. People suffered as a result. Xarelto was doing his job as blood thinning, but you have to be careful about what you do when you start doing blood thinners, and to make sure that coagulation of the blood is important. You need to be able to stop bleeding once it occurs. Yes, you don't want to have blood clots forming, and that's one of the problems. You have blood clots forming, especially after surgery. It can lead to deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolisms. It can lead to all sorts of problems. But when you introduce a drug that's going to address a problem, you've got to make sure that drug's not causing more problems. Or once again, at least give advice. Let people know what the situation is.
Well, think about this. That's what the cases boil down to, because we're not talking about a defective product. That's a whole different area of product liability law, right? It's defective. It was defective in some way. It was defective, and it reached the consumer in a defective condition, which then caused issues X, Y, and Z, right? So it's a failure to warn. We're not going to tell you. Take the drug Taxotere. Ladies take the drug Taxotere for breast cancer, and they're not warned, and they weren't warned that when you take Taxotere, it's going to make your hair fall out permanently. And I don't think I know very many women that want their hair to fall out permanently, and they weren't told. So that's what the basis of the Taxotere lawsuits are about. So you take the drug. Taxotere, your hair falls out permanently, and nobody told you. So, just like we were talking about at the top of the show, wrongful birth, wrongful life cases, that's an incredible area of the law. But it's a failure to warn, okay? So let's go back just a second to wrongful birth and wrongful life, because the medical doctor is at the center of this whole situation. And maybe the parents say, well, we have genetic problems. Maybe they want genetic testing. Maybe the doctor doesn't order genetic testing. Does the doctor even have a duty to order genetic testing to warn the mother and father? Maybe the mother and father and the parents were talking about this to the doctor to begin with. And some of these causes of action result on the fact that failure to warn, just like the drug Xarelto, just like the birth control device for women, Esure, right? And so that's the whole genesis of it. And Brad, let's just talk a little bit about the Xarelto drug situation. There's MDLs in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I think in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Right. And, we've talked before about what MDLs are, multi-district litigation. If you have a sufficient nexus or common issues involved in the case, you can get what's known as an MDL. They have to be approved by the court. They're in federal courts. If the courts find that there's the sufficient nexus, it can combine the cases for the purposes of going through discovery and for the purposes of going through maybe some of the pretrial motions that'll be issued. They get kicked back to each individual state and each individual attorney for the purpose of carrying out the lawsuit. Why is all this important? It's important because, once again, listen to what I'm saying, that Xarelto is manufactured by Johnson & Johnson or put out on the market by Johnson & Johnson. When you're dealing with that, you've got a situation where you're dealing with a multi-billion dollar company. When you start wanting to deal with, and you want to start wanting to have yourself addressed with discovery, you've got to understand that you're going against a huge giant. And the individual who has taken Xarelto and has suffered the injury is now looking and saying, what should we do? Remember, Johnson & Johnson and Bayer both are manufacturers of Xarelto. So I want to make sure that you don't just go just the Johnson & Johnson.
Right, so let's kind of recap this. And when you talk about Xarelto, you're talking about the effects. So these cases are about the effects and failure to warn. Xarelto is a blood thinner. They weren't warned about certain matters that cause internal bleeding, gastrointestinal bleeding, that sort of thing. And you've got, like, hernia mesh cases that actually just melt down. So all these are very serious consequences. You can call us anytime. You can call us right here in the studio at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, and Dana Miller is with us today of our law firm. We're here to serve you. Don't forget about our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. We have a book on motorcycle injuries, a book on workers' compensation. We do cases all over the state of Colorado on auto accidents, injuries, truck accidents, bicycle accidents, workers' compensation, champions of the people. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. You can call us in the studio right now. We'll answer your question on any legal subject. 303-713-8255, 713-8255. Welcome to all of our listeners, KHOW, KRDO in Colorado Springs, KEZZ 94.1 FM in Steamboat Springs, and KRAI in Craig, Colorado. Welcome to the Bell and Pollack Show. Right now, joining us live is Eric from Catlin's. Good morning, Eric. You got any legal coffee over there?
I do got legal coffee. I do have legal coffee. I don't have a legal bagel, but I got a lot of legal other stuff, too. And
okay.
A lot of good food.
You got legal cinnamon rolls, though.
I do have legal cinnamon rolls, absolutely.
And you can make them out. What do? You put them on the grill? Or
we call them cinnamon grillers. Yeah, what we do is we bake them here in-house, and we cut them in half, and we throw them on a flat-top grill with a little bit of butter and grill them up to a crispy golden brown, serve them with some maple syrup. Can't beat it.
There you go.
What's cooking over there?
All right, guys, I got specials for you for the week. Our breakfast special is going to be the one I talked about last week. It is the pork chorizo omelet. That's a two-egg omelet. We're going to saute some mushrooms, some onions, add that pork chorizo in there, and, of course, a side of hash browns with that red or green chili that we make right here in the premises. Either one of those is really good to go on top of that. That does come with your choice of toast, tortilla, or pancakes, and the pancakes are legal, too, and they are buttermilk, and they are scratch-made. So I always suggest those on the side. You can't go wrong with that. Our lunch special is that club sandwich. We're doing the good old club sandwich with ham, turkey, lettuce, tomato, toasted white bread. Of course, you can get our homemade chips or our waffle cut fries on the side with that. Either one of those go really well. That will be the lunch special for the rest of the week. And, guys, we are still going good with the Monday and Friday, 11 to 2. Every Monday, every Friday from 11 to 2, it's the all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It is all-you-can-eat. It actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage and the price of that. Those are scratch-made products on there. We've got mimosas by the glass. We've got carafes of mimosas if you're into that. Start your day off here at Catlin's. We're good to go. I think the weather's going to be beautiful again today, so the patio's ready to go. Flat screens are on. Tons of sports to check out if that's your thing. Tons of reasons to come down and check out Catlin's restaurant, guys.
I love it, Eric. Now we got you talking about legal pancakes and legal coffee. I love it.
Absolutely.
Where are you located?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is in the Glendale Shopping Center. Guys, come and check us out. I promise you'll love it every bite of the way.
All right, Eric, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right, the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. You can call us and ask us a question on any legal subject. Our telephone number here in the studio, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Don't forget about our 10 o'clock show today on KOA, 850 AM KOA. It's a one-hour Champions of the People injury show. And I'll tell you what, we've been doing that show for about a year, and we've covered every kind of subject that you can imagine. We've covered neck injuries, low back injuries, symptoms like radiating pain, radiculopathy, injections like transforaminal epidural steroid injections. What do they mean? Trigger point injections. What do they mean? How do you approach this? What's your legal game plan? Okay, so you can go to our website on championsofthepeople.com, and we've written six books. And one of the books is called Legal Game Plan. Why do we write it? You know, Brad and I have discovered over the years that people that come to us don't have the information that insurance companies have, and so therefore they're at a disadvantage. Simple as that. Simple as that.
You know, I wanted to go back a little bit to this sterilization or the wrongful life and the wrongful pregnancy cases a little bit, Gary, and just talk about them. What we have to realize is how the law evolves, and it's interesting how the law evolves with regard to with regard to the norms of society and how we feel about it in society. When we were talking about sterilization, I was thinking in my mind of vasectomy and a man getting a vasectomy, but the doctor performing it inappropriately, where it doesn't work, where the doctor didn't do the job correctly, and the man, next thing he knows, he's got a child, or he's impregnated a woman, and she's pregnant, and she's going to have children, or a child, or maybe he's got more than one woman that he's been seeing, and he's got a couple of children on the way. We're talking about how the children are supported, how they have natural care, and who's going to act as the father for that child, and what's going to happen. We talk about genetic testing, and we talk about whether or not you have a wrongful life or a wrongful birth case when you have the testing that happens, and whether or not, to begin with, there's a lot of couples who know they might have a genetic testing question. And so they ask for genetic testing before they even have a pregnancy. We have other people who, after the pregnancy, there's genetic testing. And, you know, this kicks back into, and once again, I don't want to get political, but this kicks back into Roe v. Wade and whether or not you can terminate a pregnancy. And if you can't terminate a pregnancy, then the question is, what happens to the lawsuit that you had? And if you didn't have the right to terminate the pregnancy, would that be different? Should the pregnancy have occurred to begin with if you had the proper sterilization? So there's a lot of questions you have with a wrongful life and a wrongful pregnancy question.
Well, it's just a legal minefield. Think about this. You know, Roe v. Wade and its cases that followed that reasoning talked about the first trimester of pregnancy, the second trimester, and the third trimester. Well, what if you discover a genetic defect or a problem, right? In the second trimester, can you terminate the pregnancy legally? The third trimester, can you terminate legally? Is it proper? We're not talking about the political part of it. We're not talking about the ethical or moral religious part of it. We're talking about the absolute law. And so if you find the defect, or if the doctor found the defect, then what are the parents going to do? How do they approach it? And how do they approach their own genetic problems they inherited from their family? Join us live right now on KHOW is Jenny from Colorado Springs. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
I'm a small business owner, and I went into business with my mother-in-law, and we actually had a falling out. To my surprise, I didn't think there was really anything, any issue, but apparently she wanted to have her own space. She ended up renting a space two doors down in the same building as me, and she has been slandering my name to clients. And we can hear her from the lobby when she's talking. And so I've talked to the landlord about it. I know it's a business thing with the landlord. She said, really, there's nothing legally she can do except for not renew the lease. But that won't be until the summer. Okay. And also, I'm trying to grow my business. And the domain name I was interested in purchasing was coincidentally bought, but nothing was done with it 90 days ago when we were having this falling out, and I can't seem to get a hold of it at all because they bought it for the full year. So I'm wondering what I could do. I mean, I could probably just make up another domain name, which is fine, but I feel like there's always there's always a roadblock. If I want to try to do something, like how do I prevent her from staying out of my business?
Okay, so you asked some really great questions. So let's talk about the slander question first, and then we'll get into the non-compete in Colorado. The slander question, yes. If people slander you individually, and that slander are oral words, libel usually deals with written words, and there's libel per se and libel per quote and slander per se. And slander per quote, a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo words. What it means for you, Jenny, is if she is slandering you or slamming you, and if they deal with it in your business, that's a different category of slander. I mean, if I say if we just talk about you personally, or she just talks about you personally, that's a different level and category of slander. If she talks about you in your business, that can be slander per se, and so it is actionable. It's harder to prove, but it can be done. Usually, you have to have independent witnesses and independent corroboration, right, of what she says. Sometimes, Jenny, a demand letter from you to her can stop all this, and she'll understand some it's becoming more formal and more legal. And on the slander issue, you know, we'd be glad to explore it with you off the air, and probably even write a letter for you to her, making demand that she cease and desist.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you're dealing with a defamation of any kind, whether it be written or spoken, in your business, as Gary said, is per se, and damages are presumed. The problem is the damages are presumed. It could be $1 if you go through trial. The big thing you want to do here is stop it. You've got to get it stopped. And the way you stop it is, I think you do need, first of all, a formal demand. Jenny, everything you've said to me today that I've heard tells me you need a lawyer. And you don't just need a lawyer for the defamation, the slander. You need a lawyer for properly setting up your business. There's a lot of things that could have been done before all this happened.
She signed a lease and then told me, she goes, everything is fine. It's okay. I've gone ahead and I'm going to be in suite number two. After she talked to the landlord without my knowledge and signed the year lease without my knowledge, she's literally two doors down from me. And between the end of August to now, I've had about 12 people who have seen her for her services and then have come to see me. And they were like, wow, she has nothing but nasty things to say about you. You're trying to steal her product or do this. It's all just not true. I absolutely am not doing any of that stuff. But I think she needed some sort of a reason to tell people why we were no longer sharing the same space. And so she's like making something up, and it's at my expense. So it's really annoying. And she's not even living in the state.
Okay, well, Jenny, so those comments all deal with you and your business. That's a special category. It's a highly protected category. Slander per se is what it's called in the law, right?
Okay.
And it facilitates the way you can prove this matter. So we got a break coming up, but can you hang with us until after the break?
Yeah. Hang with us. Don't go anywhere.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Jenny. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to help you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, the only show of its kind, right? Our website, championsofthepeople.com. And don't forget about the show that follows our show, the Consumer Real Estate Show. If you have questions on inspections, call them. If you have questions on contracts and real estate deals, call them. They're very professional. The Consumer Real Estate Show, Barry and Larry, that follows our show. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. They're free. This is a no-brainer. Come on. Grab your legal coffee. We'll be right back. Well, I ain't superstitious and I don't get suspicious. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, and Dana Miller of our law firm is here in the studio today. We're here for you. You can call us right now, 303-713-8255, 713-8255. We're going to answer your question on any legal subject. Right before the break, we were talking to Jenny. Jenny, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, Jenny was explaining a problem that she's having and with her business and slander and a non-compete situation, which we haven't got to yet. But, Jenny, what kind of business are you in?
I am a licensed esthetician.
Okay.
So I do skincare.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you're in a small strip mall, you said?
No, I'm in downtown Springs. I'm in an old Victorian, actually.
Okay. And your business is primarily, it sounds like, generated through the internet and word of mouth.
Yes.
So this is your, how long have you been doing the business?
Oh, I've been licensed for 8 years, but I've been here in the Springs doing it for 2.5. When we moved here from out of state.
Okay. All right. Well, the thing that needs to be done is as far as bringing in business partners or having employees in your business, there probably needs to be put together some type of agreement or employment agreement that's going to protect you against this kind of stuff from happening again. That's the first thing. You just can't handle that, this kind of disparagement to your business. As far as your websites, there's got to be a way to protect those too, because you don't want the names on your websites. You don't want any promotions you do on your websites being stolen. A lot of times you've got to trademark them. Other times you've got to make sure you get the domain name locked up in every which way you can. There's a lot of times domain names are locked up. In any variation of that domain name gets locked up. And
so I have to do like every type of domain name associated with my business. So if it's like an LLC.com.net, everything that would have my business name associated with that, and just buy them all, or...
Well, okay, so I don't think you have to do that, all right? Number one,
okay.
Don't do that. Number one, we'll write you a letter. We'll get your information. We'll write a letter demanding cease and desist, and it'll be an attorney letter, and it's going to cite the law, and I think she is slandering you. And as an aside, every time Brad and I have ever settled many, many type cases, including against big companies, they always put a provision in there that the person's not going to disparage them. So it's very, very important, is my point. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So then next, you can trademark protect your concepts, all right? And mm-hmm. and when you put a concept out there, a picture, a website, a concept, and you're using it in business, there are, with some exceptions, there are some inherent protections with regard to, the area of trademark, copyrights, and patents. We're not talking about a patent, but in that area of the law. So that needs to be explored for you as well. Because that could be an infringement. It could also be business slander with regard to your website and name.
Right. Yes, because I've actually noticed that she's used my my logo.
Your logo.
On her own site. And, she's... And I've actually asked her to take it down. She has, but... I don't, it's like she's kind of riding the coattails, and it's very frustrating for me.
Well, I'm so glad you called us, but let's ask Nike how they feel about their logo,
Right? Exactly.
Okay.
I paid for that logo.
And some of this you may have, that's a trademark, and some of this you may have protected naturally or because you're using them as somebody stealing your trademark, and they're stealing them in the same geographic area, in the same business area, in the same area where you do business in the same business that, that you do.
She's in the same exact business, yes.
Right. So that's stealing. That's just taking over your business right there. And you probably have a cause of action there. But I want to get you set up with the necessary people that are going to show you how to protect your business long-term and short-term and how to have protections in your business. As far as the slander and the defamation, I agree with Gary. A letter has to go out. Mm-hmm. We need to talk to you off the air, make sure we get all the necessary information. And we can throw into the letter that she stopped doing all the other things, stealing your domain names, stealing your logos, stealing your business clientele.
The thing is I can't, so it's just on one of those third party websites it's called Namecheap. All I know, and I was able to find out, is that it was bought within the last 90 days. And it's just the domain name. Nothing's been done with the actual name. And it won't renew until next September. So that's all. Because it's all been the person who bought it is prohibiting anybody from contacting them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. You got a complicated issue, but it sounds like you're really being hurt and treated wrong. And so we're gonna give you some help, Jenny. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, and Dana, who is also an attorney, she's sending me a little thing saying that it creates confusion. And
I have so much confusion, and on top of that, we have the same freaking last name and the first letter of the first name.
Right. So
very confusing.
So what you've got here is it does create confusion. It causes a problem in you being able to carry your business. One of the things you need to do is start watching to see how this affects your business. If you have a drop off of business, if you have clientele that you've had before, regular customers that are no longer going to you, I was concerned about you saying some of the customers have come to you or have gone to her and then come to you.
That is correct.
And
we use a different type of product altogether and a different technique. They basically don't want to go back because it's just really unprofessional experience for them.
Well, sure.
At the end of the day.
But Jenny, without slandering her, I mean, you have a very fascinating legal situation, and we're going to try to help you. But why do these people, if you can answer on the air, why do these people come to you then? I mean, they go see her, and then they come to you. I mean, I just have to know.
My prices are really competitive, and I've got a really, really awesome reviews online. And, you know.
That's why.
That's really how it's really quite simple. You price yourself right. You give people a good service. You're going to get return clientele.
Well, just because you got a small business doesn't mean you can't win this war. Just because you have a small business, you sound like a very, very ethical, honest person with integrity. Let's see what we can do.
What's the name of your business, Jenny?
Can I say it on air?
Yeah.
Wax That Bod LLC.
What is it?
Wax That Bod LLC.
Okay.
All right.
And if I look that up on the internet, I'm going to find you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Jenny, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information and including your contact information. And we're going to contact you the first part of the week, okay?
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling the Bell and Pollock Show. We're glad to help everybody. You go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. And today, don't forget about our 10 o'clock injury show, the Champions of the People injury show on 8:50 a.m. KOA. You know, when you've been injured, that's what we do. We do cases all over the state of Colorado for over 30 years. You need somebody to help you put your life back together again, protect your family. An injury affects not only you, the injured victim, but also your family. It has devastating consequences. We know that. We can help you. We give you a free initial consultation. And guess what? When you come to Bell and Pollock, we give you a free legal game plan. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people. See you next week. The way the moonlight shined upon her head.